Hi there, I am with Brianna Cunningham today, CEO and founder of Code Technology, and we're going to be talking about PROs. So welcome, Bri.
Hello.
Can you tell me a little bit more about yourself, what makes you passionate about PROs, and the story behind Code?
Yeah, my name is Bree Cunningham. I'm a nurse by trade, but have been fully in the PRO space now for about 10 years, which is wild to think. My nursing background, trauma, ICU, did a lot of research as well. And my research, I have just a lot of projects and a lot of interest in patient reported outcomes. What was interesting at that time, eons ago, it was still a big split, probably 80-20. 80% was clinician reported outcomes and 20% were PROs, which is funny to fast forward to now where everyone knows about PROs these days. There wasn't an efficient way for collecting the data. I tried products out there, but they didn't meet my need. It was always dependent on my staff for collecting. So Code collects patient reported outcomes as a service. So we collect, score, analyze, and report all types of patient reported outcome data, predominantly in orthopedics. So what makes me an expert? Well, I feel like I liked PROs before they were trendy, before they were cool. So have nerded out on them really hard for years and just really passionate about it. I think it's really a foundational component to value-based healthcare. And something I'm also passionate about is, using my time and energy to help the US transition to a more stable healthcare model. Outcomes is the backbone of that.
And when you're having conversations advocating for patient-reported outcomes, what are some challenges that you see come up?
Oh gosh, I'll kind of talk through the evolution of those. So early on, in my, nursing research days, and then also early on at Code, it was, we don't care what the patients think. Like, patients don't really know how they're doing. I haven't had that conversation in a while. I mean, I think now there's been enough, published literature that shows that patient-reported outcomes do an excellent job quantifying pain, function, and quality of life. So I think they're more regularly adopted now as valuable reflection and depiction of how a patient is doing. So that's great news. I think there's a lot of hard work that's been done to get the world there. Another big challenge is licensing. These PRO tools have become very proprietary. They tend to be built by a very well-intended surgeon or clinician, and then it starts getting used and widely adopted, and then a company will acquire the IP associated with the tool. So now, instead of just being able to download the tool or pull it from a site, you have to contract with the entity that owns the IP. And there's a huge burden in that. There's a huge burden in maintaining the license, maintaining the cost. There are some really good tools out there that I wish we were using more, but they're expensive. So just like AAOS and a lot of other governing bodies in medicine, Code has the stance that, we tend to recommend tools that are free, that are validated and that are made available to the public versus those licensed tools. Another big challenge I see with PROs right now is just collecting is a pain in the ass, right? It takes a ton of infrastructure. It takes a lot of organization. If you're using FTEs, what happens is that you're collecting the data more than you're utilizing the data. I think that just the infrastructure and the process for collecting, scoring, and reporting is a lot.
But like if you're a surgeon, where do you want to spend your time? Championing the collection or just getting in that data, looking at it, and taking inventory of your activity?
Right. I mean, whether you're a surgeon or a nurse, or you work in quality, or you're looking at it through a financial lens, how can I use this data to negotiate contracts? The term that is used in medicine often is, are you operating at the top of your license? The surgeons usually aren't collecting it. There are some out there that I know are, on every patient visit or having the patients fill it out and they're looking at it. But a lot of times, I mean, the person that I see this shifted to in a private practice setting, like the MA, in a hospital setting, is like a nurse navigator or someone from the research department. They're not energized by collecting and organizing data.
So you talk about surgeons who are champions of patient-reported outcomes. Where could they use them to improve their clinical practice?
Oh, you know what I think is really fun about PROs is there's just like a multitude of use cases for the data. thinking through the eyes of a surgeon, you want to know how you're doing, right? And if your patients are doing well, sometimes they don't come back to clinic, and usually that's a good sign, but sometimes you don't know. So what I think is the kind of pure organic use of PROs for a surgeon is if you're collecting the data and you have access to the data, you can look back and see pain, function, quality of life. You can learn what the expected change in scores are over time. You know, you can use the data to get better. You're using different techniques. You're using different implants. And you're very familiar with that. You know how many anchors you put in that cuff. Looking at that data helps you know if what you're doing is working or if you need to tweak your approach. That's one very pure organic use case that is fun and we see our surgeons use a lot. Another use case not all of our surgeons are using is for shared decision making. You can use predictive analytics and to a great degree of accuracy, plug in a patient's pre-op PRO score, some various other aspects and, you know, about their demographic and some of their risk profile, and compare it to a registry like CODE and say, okay, here's where you're projected to be, what your complication rate could be, and pairing that with your patient visually and being able to tweak it and say, all right, if you take your BMI from a 36 to a 32, now look at what you would be functioning in your risk. And that's a very powerful tool that can be used for shared decision making.
And shared decision making and patient engagement are so closely related. If you have a patient who's engaged with the delivery of care, they're going to be more likely to have a positive outcome. Do you have a specific example of how PROs have affected surgery care specifically?
Yes, there's many to pull from. I mean, we've seen patient-reported outcomes be an awesome indicator of early failure, and been able to use patient-reported outcome data to get products that are not working off the market or fixed quicker. There's been two products where we saw early signs of failure. We went back and told the implant company, told our clients, and we've been able to see that get fixed, which I think is insanely powerful. Because if you think about traditional registries, traditional implant surveillance registries are collecting data on all the implants, but only the failure data. Patient-reported outcomes allow you to start seeing the trend towards failure and catch it sooner. For me as a patient, that makes me thrilled. And then just, you know, looking at the value equation, value in healthcare is cost and outcomes. So, you know, we have a lot of data on cost. That's pretty easy to pull. It's you can pull it from the EHR. We don't have a lot of data on outcomes. Regardless, if you know your outcomes and you know the cost, it allows you to make decisions that are appropriate economically and morally of how to take care of your patients. Did that answer your question?
It does. And we've kind of discussed the positives of PROs. We just kind of scratched the surface there. But what misconceptions have you heard in your time at CODE, before CODE, about PROs, and how would you address them?
As a medical community, we don't really know how to use the data yet. And, you know, there's a new program through CMS, IPPS for total joints, that is using a functional improvement delta. So the change in the score from pre-op to post-op at the 1 year mark, and saying that it has to be, you know, a certain amount of points. I love that. I think it's exciting, but is the delta like the gold standard? Probably, but I also think you need to pair it with some other information, right? Because you can have a really great delta where there's a big improvement, but also you waited way too long to do surgery on the patient, where if you operated on them sooner, they're not as big of a change in score because they weren't as debilitated by the time that you got in there. So anchoring that against something like, have the results met my expectations? Would I have the surgery again? Pairing the delta with those questions, wow, does that add a whole lot of color to the picture? You know, I think that eventually there'll be a formula where it's a combination of the PRO score and potentially some other patient experience questions and some other relevant clinical findings that will be used in these value-based equations versus just a pure delta.
That makes a lot of sense. Pushing forward, we know kind of the end state of PROs as being shared decision making. Have you heard a lot about its impact on prior authorization?
Here's what I'm hearing with prior auth. So first, there's a lot of companies right now that require PROs for prior auth. Now, in addition to prior auth, which is already a very painful process, and you can't even bring it up in a room with surgeons unless you have a long time and, I don't know, just want to hear a lot of F-bombs. And now you're making it more painful because they'll say, oh, you also need to submit this survey. I've been hearing some interesting discussions between payers and practitioners alike of, could you, for practices that are collecting PROs, have data on their quality? Could they work with the insurance company and say, hey, here's my outcomes. Let me show you what I'm doing. Not only do I not need to submit a PRO for prior auth, don't prior auth me. I should bypass prior auth because I have the outcome data to prove that I don't need it and that I'm operating on the right patients and they're doing well. There was some reform that happened, some policy around prior auth that I know a lot of our clients are pretty stoked on that is helping reduce the burden. And part of that burden is not changing up the process all the time. that's been, again, a big challenge for our clients is they want a PRO and they want it different ways and it's ever changing and evolving and that's not scalable.
So if you're a surgeon really looking to implement a PRO program, what do you need to do to make that happen?
So my recommendations for a surgeon is get people bought in. Get people excited about PROs. You know what's fun? The PROs are really easy to sell. I just rattled off, 18 really cool use cases for PROs. And I was just skimming the surface. PROs are an easy sell. I think there's a use case for every kind of persona within healthcare, whether it's a CFO or IT or quality or nursing. I mean, PROs are easy to get behind. The people that are kind of naysayers or pushing back understand the why. Likely they've been burned in the past with them. They are the ones that were collecting the data. They are the ones that were kind of doing the work that is important and needed, but not glamorous and not fun that's associated with PROs. That's a real thing. So I think really getting a culture of why it's important, this is where things are going, and creating energy behind it is helpful. That'd be my recommendation to a surgeon.
We've gone over a few questions. I think we've hit a lot of the big topics. Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
I think now more than ever, it is so critical that we have surgeon leadership. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that we don't really know what the best way is to use PROs from a metric standpoint. For me, even though I have a PRO company and I love PROs, I don't think that just the PRO alone is necessarily going to be a good outcome metric. I think it's going to have to be a combination of things. The people that are going to help design that are the clinicians, are the surgeons. So it's going to take brain space and thought leadership from surgeons. And surgeons don't now, I mean, in a traditional fee-for-service model, don't have time for that. Right now, the payers are collecting the data. They're spending time thinking about how they can deny cases and do more prior authorization things to slow things down. So my call to action is we got to wake up for healthcare reform to happen, for us to transition to a true value-based care model. It can't be the payers that are driving everything, and right now they are. It needs to be an equal partnership between the payers and the clinicians, and the side that's lacking right now is the clinicians. What can we do? How can we as a healthcare community lift them up, give them time and space to help solve these really important problems? We should be telling the payers what the good outcome is. And right now it's happening the other way around.
I found this conversation unbelievably valuable, as I hope our viewers did as well. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Mel.